I want you to make welcome this morning Brother Wayne Warren as he comes to share what God's doing, what God's done, and a word from the Lord for all of us this morning. Let's make welcome Brother Wayne Warren as he comes this morning. And God bless you, Brother Wayne. Love you in the Lord.
Love you,
and
brother.
Thank God. You don't have to be 8 years old. You can be real old and be a missionary. Say amen right there.
Thank you, brother.
My brother, I love you.
My brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told Dina, my sister-in-law, that, Lord wrote a song through me on prayer. Why didn't you pray for me? And I said, I've got the privilege of standing behind the pulpit at Benson Grove Baptist Church on Sunday morning. Do you think it's time for me to buy a bus? And she quickly answered, I don't think so, Wayne. But what a blessing it is, Brother Billy, to be here. I want to thank you, church, for your many, many prayers through these last years of this ministry and your support. As God has done things beyond my ability to comprehend, Brother Mitch, Brother Barry, Joe Barry, Terry, T.G., Danny, Brother Billy, my verse of scripture for all of y'all is Philemon 4. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Amen. Y'all were such a blessing and you're laboring. And words cannot reveal this side of heaven what your reward is going to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, one little simple verse of scripture. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Father, the only thing that I'm needing this morning is a touch from you. Thank you for this privilege. But Father, this morning I would ask that you would just sit me on the pew, that you would do the speaking through this vessel. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. What a blessing it is to have you, Colby, one of my twins, Mount Olive College. His twin is having to work today, but I had supper with them a few nights ago, and what a blessing. I praise my God for every remembrance of you both. I'm very aware because I've been there with you, the sufferings you've had in our losses. But his grace is sufficient for both of us and my family. Faithful. The definition of faithful, according to Webster, is truth, vows, or covenants. I want to take you on a little journey that started back in the spring of 2004. I had come back from the mountains of East Tennessee, where at 56 years old, I got married for the very first time, and I was really not a husband for 13 months. I was a caregiver. I came back to North Carolina not knowing what I was going to do. My wife had died of cancer 13 months after our marriage. And God sent me to a little cemetery in Grifton, which is between Greenville and Kinston, and put me as a general manager. And during that period of time, very shortly, I met a lady. And She made a comment several times, and I'm going to let you decide which story you believe. I sort of like mine the best. She took her mother out to purchase her cemetery property, and during that period of time, there was a young mother. It was raining, and it was, I think, in February. Christmas Eve, she had lost her son to an overdose of drugs, and she was in the rain putting flowers on her son's grave. And I excused myself, and I went out, and she said I kneeled down in the rain and in the wet grass with my suit on and prayed for this lady. And she said she pointed up to heaven and said, "No, God." Well, my story is she saw this black lab with this good-looking man in a Jeep, and that's what got her. So I'm going to let you make the decision which one you like the best. We went on and started talking very soon. I asked her to marry me. She said yes. She went, and God has blessed her with the ability to decorate, and she went to this friend of hers. She said, "I need some help." She said, "I need to be able to mix fine linen with burlap." Well, I was the burlap, and she was the fine linen. This company that I was working for wanted to send me to Elizabeth City to take over a cemetery that was doing approximately 600 burials a year. And during that period of time, God was dealing with Jackie and myself about starting a ministry. Jackie sold her house. I sold everything I had, and we started Anna Ruth's Pastors Missionary Christian Retreat. I did not see the need for pastors like my wife did. She saw that before I did, till I was in a service in Grifton. And I heard the preacher one Sunday morning say, "If y'all tried to find me yesterday," which was Saturday, "this week I counseled a friend of mine on his deathbed that still refuses to accept the Lord. I was counseling a married couple with 3 kids, and their marriage is over. And I had to get away." He said, "I had to go to Greenville and rent a motel room." Well, this was a weekend where East Carolina was playing a home football game, so you can imagine what that was like. And it hit me. No man of God should have to go rent a motel room to get a place to come apart. That's when the vision hit me. I had a vision for kids. Everywhere I went, and it's getting worse and worse, I see these kids and they're losing their communication level. They'll sit next to one another, and you know. My brother Benny, which praise God is home now, he brought the first fatherless sons to our place. And to see those kids around that prayer pit crying out to the Lord to mend their families and unite their parents and save them. He started that ministry. We had much prayer, landscaped and remodeled. I stood on the deck one day and I said, "Okay, Lord, we're broke. How are we going to feed your people?" I already had one pastor to tell us that I can understand your heart not wanting to charge pastors, but you're going to have to charge everybody else. We never asked for a donation. We've never asked to present our ministry in a church. We've never charged. But we've never failed to feed. As I stood on that deck one morning, I said, okay, Lord, here we are. We're broke. What do we do now? I could almost hear the Lord say, I have you right where I want you. Now you have nowhere to turn but to me. Two little Social Security checks. It's taken those, taken the support. But praise God, in May 2006, Anna Ruth was started. A haven of rest for God's people to rest, to get revived, to be reconnected, to be restored. Ruth means mercy, pity, and tenderness. Anna means grace. Pity and sorrow for these pastors, these that come for what they're going through. But while they're there, God's grace. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, in thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We had to totally trust in the Lord. Our first three preachers that were coming, we had $46.34. 3 days before they got there, there was a check in the mail. I can tell you with great joy that going on 13 years, this ministry has been living out of the mailbox ever since. I had a lady in the community. I stopped by to visit her one day, and she said, Wayne, doesn't it scare you and Jackie to live like y'all live? I said, what do you mean, Lena? She said, every month the bills come in, and I know there can't be any money. I said, Lena, that's God's problem, the money. I said, it's not worrying me one bit. I said, for 12 years he's been faithful. He's never failed. This is his ministry. If he wants it closed, he can close it. And then there'll be another door somewhere else. We've had missionaries and preachers from 6 different countries, preachers from 9 states. We've had couples whose marriages were in a mess, and I can remember one couple and the young man bawling on the back deck and crying, and the words divorce and coming out, and praise God, it was about an hour later that marriage was mended. And to this day, that marriage is just like that. We've had a group of girls from Southeastern Bible College to come. We've had as many as 76 kids in 1 year. Tim, that doesn't sound like many compared to what your ministry is, but you have to look at where we are and what we have. 76 is a big number for us. Winter time is taking boys and taking them to the woods, and people say, well, have you started a hunting ministry? No, hunting is secondary. To get these kids first thing in the morning to get on their knees and pray before a holy God before their day starts, and then the hunting. I have seen 3 boys that I know of that have gone back home and have found them places in the woods where they go and pray now. I'm telling you, young people, if you're in here, some of you are in school, some are going to college. Education is fine. We need education. We need people to get educated. But all the books you're going to pick up, the most important book that you will pick up is this book right here. The only book that's going to tell you how to lead your life, the only book that's going to tell you about a saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to hear there's more than one way to heaven. The book of John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Lord but by me. There's only one way. I encourage you to get in this book. Fall in love with the author. This is nothing but his love letters to you. And develop a prayer life. Don't start your day. The choices you make now, the decisions you make now, are going to affect you the rest of your life. The Bible says, what you sow, you will also reap. Proverbs 4 says, avoid, beware of paths that evil is on. When you see beware and avoid, you better pay attention on it. When you make a decision, the devil wants you to make a decision based on the present. You forget that and make your decisions based on the future. You ask God every morning, Lord, I'm going to be faced with a fork in the road today. Which one do I take? You make sure you take the one Jesus is on. You will never regret it. Where if you don't, you will regret your bad choices. Well, then came along cancer, strep pneumonia, meningitis, Hurricane Irene, death of a brother, a very close cousin, a house destroyed, all in a year. And then Jackie, heart surgery, blood pressure, blood sugar, stress, and me. Then on top of that, next door, there was a group of young boys that slept all day and drunk and partied all night. It was even at the point that I asked the Lord, Lord, is this what you want? Do you want to close the door on this ministry? I remember when Jackie and I pulled up and saw the tree lying over in the home, the mobile home where we stayed and fed. And the words out of her mouth was, praise God, I now see my dining room. Do you know that faith is basically something that you haven't seen yet? Someone once said, if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it. People wanted to raise money to rebuild. People wanted to sell barbecue plates, have sings, take up offerings. Had one preacher to say, Wayne, why don't you just wait and let's raise the money before you start, and so it won't be an embarrassment to the community. We started with $15,000. That's all the premiums we could pay on the mobile home we had. We saw that the installation, we had a 90 days to pay for it before they even came to put it in. The bill was paid. We were never late on a bill. We never asked. You know, I found out if somebody has to ask you to do something, I do believe in my heart that you're going to miss your blessing. If you see a need somewhere, go do it. Don't wait to be asked. I've always had a problem asking people. As Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jackie put a sign on a tree that said, "This is the house that faith is building." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The guy that put the foundation in dug the footings. He told me, he said, "Brother Wayne," he said, "I can't afford to be here." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "I've had to lay off all my workers. I have no work in sight." He said, "But God told me I had to come." There was a few months down the road and I was at my mom's and I was wandering around in the woods. The phone rang and it was this particular person. He said, "I just wanted to tell you, Brother Wayne," he said, "I got more work than I've ever had in my life." He said, "I got more employees than I've ever had." He said, "I've got one customer that's got me putting in 165 footings within the next 6 months." Had another guy that came that helped a friend do the plumbing, and I saw him in a church, and he said, I said, "When you coming back to see us?" He said, "I can't afford to go up there anymore." I said, "Why, Brother Chris?" He said, "I can't handle the work I got." You can't outgive him. Praise the Lord. During that period of time, we had opportunity to witness and pray for so many people, truck drivers. There wasn't a truck driver that came that didn't get prayed for. The guy that brought the trusses from Conway, South Carolina, he said, "Mr. Warren," he said, "I didn't want to make this trip today," but he said, "Praise God, I'm glad I came." The building inspector, oh, I saw a change in him. The building supply houses, when they came, there was no mistake who was building the house. And let me tell you something, if you came and you come on that property, you are going to be prayed for. You are going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Fitting song, brother. We would start in each work day with prayer. During the building, we never turned anybody down. If somebody came, we'd go to Scotland Neck, had one motel, and we'd get a motel room, clean up, come back, and clean up, move back in. We had 30 kids during the building of the house one time, and the guys were loading up the tools. The kids were getting on the van to leave, and they were pulling out, and I was over there with the workers, and here come Jackie bawling. She had a little note in her hand. Little note read. She said, "Fellas, this is what you're working for." Little note said, "I got saved today, Madeline." She didn't want her to read it until after they left. But you know, this young girl going back to her hometown led three of her other classmates to Christ. And guess what they do on Saturdays? They don't go to the playgrounds. They go to the mobile home parks and have Bible study. Matthew 19:26 says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now there is a new sign. God can, God did. This is the house that faith built. The partying kept getting worse next door. The law nor the homeowners would do anything about it. I got a chance to witness and pray with these boys. God never closed the door on what we actually wanted to do to them. Finally, homeowner agreed to rent it to us and have them move out. We can't rent that place. I mean, we don't have $400 extra money a month, let alone the water bill, the light bill, and the gas bill, the maintenance. Come to find out, she was charging us $50 more per month and still wouldn't let us use a barn. Then she was charging them and letting them use the barn. Can I stop and tell you something right now? Don't expect lost people to act like they aren't lost. Lost people act exactly, don't get upset, they act exactly like they're supposed to act. When I wasn't saved, I acted like I was lost. The problem is, Christians, in most instances, don't act like Christians. You can't tell the difference a lot of times with a professing Christian than the world. Bible says, come apart and separate yourself. Says, we're pilgrims. I don't belong here. I do not belong in this country and in this world anymore. This is not my home. And the longer I live, the more I see it, the more that I am appreciative to the time that I answered the drawing power of the Holy Ghost of God and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and save me. That's the only thing that matters. This world's going to pass away. The truth will find you out. God did it again. Benny's bunkhouse was started. Brother Terry here in the church came up and brought bunk beds, and Brother Billy, me and Brother Gary Wood putting them together. I preached at Brother Dennis Gregory's church in Roanoke Rapids, and after that night I shared what was getting ready to happen, and he called me before I even got home. He said, there's some people come up to the church and want to supply a couple of mattresses. The next morning, he called at 7 o'clock. That's unusual. Thank you, brother, except from you. He said, our church has decided they want to supply all 14 mattresses. At the camp meeting, brother, the wagons came, brought linen, brought blankets, pillows. Before anybody ever stayed there, as we were moving it in, this two men moving some furniture, Jackie wanted to rearrange. They brought a young man with them. Before anybody ever stayed at Benny's, there was a young man got on his knees, married, 3 kids, and got saved. Amen. This past year, between May in October, we've had 12 teenagers saved that I know of. Amen. We can now sleep 16 people. But if you know, you go back and you remember the verse of Scripture, faithful is he that calleth you who will do it. I couldn't find out what that it is in my life. It's more than the light bill and the food and the strength, the water bill, the phone bill, the insurance, the repair bills. That it's forgiving me of my sins. That it is hearing my prayers. That it is his promise never to leave nor forsake me. That it means he's always caring for me. That it means he's always convicting me. That if means he's always chastising me. That if means that he always comforts me. During cancer, my doctor called me. Well, we got together my last appointments. I've been a caregiver. I've had it firsthand. I know cancer. I know what it does to a family. He's going to start, and he's already started. Contact has not been made. It's tried to have been made, but these people that come in struggling, that have lost a loved one maybe, or even before then, to call me, to go. What another door, brother. Don't expect not to suffer. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, your attitudes. The doors that going to chemotherapy that God opened was amazing. I remember a lady standing in a hallway as Jackie was going to get the car to pick me up. There was a bathroom, and you leave and start out the door, and here's a door with doors. You go through, and there's the restrooms, a little couch, and I had to take them. Ain't nothing wrong with taking this to your doctor. You're in a battle. Take your sword with you. I took it everywhere with me. I've had families want to move their loved ones next to where I was taking chemotherapy, not with nothing that Wayne Warren had to offer. But who lives in me? Overshadowed me. Praise the Lord. I walked out of the bathroom. There was this lady standing there. She said, you're a preacher. Never seen her. She didn't see me go in there. Nobody was in there. She said, I need you to pray for me. When was the last time you stopped and prayed for somebody? Don't postpone it. They might not need a prayer tonight. They need a prayer right now. Parking lots. Grocery stores in the line. You'll be surprised what it will do to the people around. Stop and pray. Take time to pray. Second Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. If I'm going to suffer, if I'm going to get sick, and if I'm going to have to go, praise God, I'm going to let Him use that so He, through me, can comfort somebody else. I'm not getting on a back porch in a rocking chair and having me a pity party. God come to call me, brother. He's going to call me either praying, either preaching, or witnessing. It ain't about me. He has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to this ministry. Has He been faithful to you? Maybe you do not understand this faith. Lord, help my unbelief. Forgive me of my lack of faith. He has been faithful. He saved me. I want you to bow your heads. When's the last time you made a trip down to an old-fashioned altar? Said, Lord, you have been faithful to me. I just want to thank you. Don't you just think a minute the many times that God has been faithful to you. Have you been faithful to Him? Have you been faithful to Him in your prayer life? Have you been faithful to Him in your witnessing? Have you been faithful to Him in attending your church? Have you been faithful to Him in praying for your preacher and his wife and his family? Have you been faithful to Him? He has been faithful. Are you sure you're saved this morning? Has there been a change in your life? No change, no salvation. Are you sure? There is a day coming without a tomorrow.